Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, yes, you know what that sound means. Everybody loves Raymond. It's time for Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette, the only man in town who defended Jim Rooney this week, Donnie. And welcome to a Donnie Football Friday. We're going to ask Ray about that coming up. But first, you can read Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. He's got a mock draft out today. We're absolutely talking about that. First, I cede the floor to one Donnie Football who has some breaking news from Jeff Howe of The Athletic.
Yeah, Ray, I want to get your reaction on this. Joe gave the introduction there. Here is the tweet from Jeff Howe a little bit ago. It was about 10 minutes ago. With Pete Carroll taking over the Raiders, one name I've heard to watch for at QB, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go, Raiders!
They have mended fences, per source, and Wilson could be the stopgap while the Raiders develop a long-term answer. What's the reaction there, Ray?
Yeah, Donnie, I did read something recently, and I'm sorry, I can't give credit to who wrote it or where I saw it, but I saw something where, like, Russ and maybe his representatives kind of forced Brian Schottenheimer out. And, you know, Pete was the one who, you know, ultimately pulled the trigger on that move. But, yeah, you know, I mean, Russ eventually did leave Seattle. It's good that they mended some fences because obviously they were a great combination about 10 years ago. And the one thing about that report is, you know, Jeff is absolutely right. They need a franchise quarterback, but they also need a bridge quarterback. You can't have the likes of Aiden O'Connell and, you know, Gardner Minshew playing that role again for the Raiders. So in that scenario, you know, it makes sense. We'll see what happens with the Steelers and Russ. Obviously, the Steelers have the inside track if they want to keep them because they can get that done before free agency starts.
So what happens with the Steelers, Ray? I mean, Russell Wilson, I don't know what's true or not with Russell anymore. For all he's such this term toxic positivity so applies to him. It's one platitude after another. They could call him into an office, Mike Tomlin, Art, and Omar, and they could say, Russell, we thought you were horrible this year, and we're absolutely not bringing you back. And Russell would leave that room saying, man, I think talks are underway here. This is great. This is adversity. I'm going to learn from this and still be the Steelers quarterback. I just think he's not dealing in reality anymore, Ray. But certainly, have talks started, like he said, on a new contract?
Well, I'm sure his agent and the Steelers on some level you know, probably touched base and said, hey, listen, we'll talk down the road. Maybe there were some general parameters given by the agent of what it might take. But the Steelers never, ever deal with this type of stuff in January, even when they have high-profile guys. You know, their first orders of business in the offseason is, you know, get ready for the draft, get ready for the new league year. And then when free agency comes, it comes. And they'll deal with that, you know, late February, early March, you know, when that time gets here. But, you know, in the meantime, they'll be at the Senior Bowl next week, guys. I don't think they are focused at all on Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. I think they're obviously talking about that inside the building, and eventually they'll come, you know, to an agreement on who the guy's going to be. But I don't think we're there quite yet.
Ray, you put out your first mock draft of the season.
Yes, he did.
Earlier today, and Joe has not gone through it yet. I don't know if he's doing that as we speak, but I did tell him quite an interesting name that you have being selected by the Steelers in round number 3.
Yeah, I just figure if you're going to go for a mobile quarterback and that guy's not a first rounder, let's face it, Jalen Milroe is not going to go in anyone's first round, even if he has a great combine, which a lot of people think that he will. There's just too much stuff on tape with his inconsistencies as a passer. And I think what teams are really going to have to get past here, and maybe there's an explanation for it, but under Nick Saban, he actually had good stats the 1 year as a passer. Was never a great throw over the football, but he had some good stats. And then under the new coach this year, the guy that, you know, came over from Washington, he had, you know, fewer touchdowns, he had more picks, and it just wasn't you know, a great season for him. But if you're looking for a developmental quarterback in the middle rounds, and I don't think I would do this in the first or second round, but if you get a guy in the third round, listen, not every third round pick works out. If you take a flyer on a guy in the third round, you develop him, and then maybe he becomes a better passer with better coaching. I think that's the right round to do it. So you're going to hear a lot about Milroe in the coming weeks and months. He's a tremendous athlete. He can run that read option. He can do things the Steelers want to do, but the bottom line is he has to prove to people that he could become an NFL caliber passer, and he's just not there quite yet.
So your first round pick for the Steelers, Ray, is Shamar Stewart, a 6'6", too tall Stewie, they'll call him. I mean, this guy's 6'6", 291. I'm all for defensive linemen in this draft, like multiple. Yeah. Like if they use their top two picks on D linemen, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Tell me about this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams did that last year. They got Jared Verse and they got Fisky from Florida State. And I watched the Rams on a couple occasions this year. That defense turned around real quick after the loss of Aaron Donald. I think the Steelers are in a similar circumstance. Listen, Stewart is going to be a polarizing figure in this draft. He didn't have production at Texas A&M, but when I watched him, and you know, I hate to put this on guys, but athletically, and I'll say this, athletically, he reminds me of like Jadeveon Clowney when Clowney came out. Now, Clowney never became a great pro, but you know, freakish athleticism there. There's a lot of stuff on tape there where, you know, he easily gets into the backfield. He just doesn't finish sacks, doesn't finish plays. So, you know, there's some work to do there. But if you're looking for probably the best athlete among all the D linemen in this draft, I think Stewart is probably it. But again, just like with Milroe, there's a projection there, and the Steelers would have to get comfortable, you know, with picking a guy like that where they're picking at number 21.
Ray, are you worried at all about his size, that he could be classified as a tweener type? And we've seen, you know, DeMarvin Leal is a case in point.
Yeah.
Hell, I forgot the guy was even on the team in the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, but I think him being 6'6", Donnie, I think he can easily get above 300. You know, Cam Hayward was never a guy who was, you know, playing at 320 or anything like that. Cam's just this guy who's really strong, and I think Stewart could be that guy too. You will see plenty of other defensive tackles mocked to the Steelers. You know, a lot of people, like guys like Mason Graham from Michigan, he'll be long gone, but there's a lot of talk about his teammate, Kenneth Grant. You know, I've seen him mocked to the Steelers. You know, for me, he plays over the nose a lot, plays over the center a lot. So He's not quite as explosive as Stewart. Still a really good player, but, you know, to me, if you're picking a 21, you know, a guy like Grant would maybe be more late first, early second. He's not quite, doesn't quite have the potential that Stewart has. But, yeah, like I said, Stewart's a projection. You would see him play up on the edge, two-point stance, and then you would also see him play down, three-point stance. I think he's a three technique in the NFL. Just put 10 or 15 pounds on him, and I think you could have your successor to Cam Hayward.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette is on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, I absolutely love your fourth round pick, Devin Neal out of Kansas. Not because I've studied tape on Devin Neal, but the idea of a running back who can bring, as you said, the big play potential to the offense at that position. And we're not talking another Dree Archer type or Anthony McFarlane. We're talking about a guy who's 210 pounds who can also bust out. I look at Tampa Bay in the fourth round. They got Bucky Irving, a guy who ran for 1,100 yards, averaged over 5 yards a carry, and was a breakaway runner too. I mean, you can get these guys anywhere. I like this, Ray.
Yeah, he had over 300 yards in a game against Colorado. I watched that game earlier in the fall. He couldn't be stopped, by the Buffaloes. I know the Buffaloes didn't have a great defense, but he produced. He put numbers up, and I think when you watch him at the combine and his pro day, I think he's probably going to test pretty well too. So, he's one of those guys. Depending on how, the running back market, these guys are starting to be valued a little bit more. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get a guy like that in the fourth round. Maybe they have to pull the trigger on a guy in the third round this year to get, that caliber of back. The good thing is this is a really good draft for running backs. So, if you want to get one in the middle rounds, whether it's him or someone else, I think you'll be able to do that in this draft.
Ray, did you find yourself watching some of the big college football games this season, or really the college football playoff or the national championship game, and you just see talent all over the place, knowing that not all of these guys will be first round picks, but I think a running back that Steeler fans are already attracted to, both of those guys at Ohio State that will be draftable players. Like, do you watch those guys and think, man, they would probably fit in here pretty well?
Yeah, Jadeveon Henderson, right, is probably the top back for the Buckeyes. And I think he's in that mid-round range as well. He might go a little bit higher. But, I like what I saw from him. What I do, Donnie, is I kind of just pick out, two full games that I can find on the internet somewhere against good competition. And that's really what I try to do. I mean, when I watch a game on TV, it's hard for me to focus in on, what the Steelers' needs are. I kind of just want to sit there and enjoy the game. So, the nice thing about this mock draft that I did is we're mostly SEC, Big 12 guys. There's not a lot of, guys from outside the major conferences. So it was pretty easy to go out there and find some games on YouTube where you can sit down and watch these guys against good competition.
Ray, here's what I think, and I wonder if you agree with this. Obviously, the Steelers could probably use improvements in many, many areas where you would look to upgrade. Having said that, when I actually look at their roster, and if I determine that, listen, I'm going with Justin Fields. If I determine that, if I'm the Steelers, their linebackers are set. Their secondary, Minka, Elliott, Porter, I think you bring in a nice veteran free agent at corner.
Yeah.
Your O-line, for better and worse, should be set. It should be. It better be. Your tight end, for better and worse, you're good. Your quarterback, you're going to go with Fields. That only leaves three areas to really attack in the draft. D-line, wide receiver, and running back, which can be found anywhere. So to my way of thinking, tell me if I'm crazy. The D-line and wide receiver positions, those are the two main areas to go for early in this draft. And I think I'm going crazy at D-line. I am. I might pick three guys in a row.
I agree with you, Joe. I think those are by far this team's two biggest needs. I would put cornerback maybe like after defensive line and receiver. And cornerback or running back, I'd probably say running back, but I think corner would be close there. So for me, when I look at this draft, it's really interesting. This happened last year too, with all those really good offensive tackles that were available. Really set up well for the Steelers. And I don't know if it's just coincidence or not, but a deep D tackle class this year, a good receiver class, maybe not like with high-end talent, but a good receiver class where you can get guys in the second or third round. I think it sets up really well for the Steelers. And, I know a lot of people, I don't know if people are down on this year's rookie class, but I think it's going to be good. Fa'amutanu was injured. You can't control that. I think he's going to be a stud. Frazier was really good. Peyton Wilson was really good. To me, the only guy the jury is out on is Roman Wilson. So I think there's still belief in this front office that they're going to go out and get good players. And I think this draft is uniquely set up to fill their needs, as you said.
Ray, you have it happening in the second round, but 3 months out, what do you think the chances are they would go receiver in the first round? Would be their first round receiver since Santonio Holmes.
So everyone's mocking the kid from Ohio State, right?
Egbuka, yeah.
Egbuka. I think he's a good player, but like to me, like you read some stuff about him, and I watched him in a couple of games this year. It seems to me, and you guys can disagree with me, he like projects as like a good number two in the NFL. And to me, if you're drafting a receiver in the first round, you want to get that guy who's like Santonio Holmes. You want to get that elite talent who can uplift your offense. And I don't know if he's that. Like I said, this draft is deep for receivers, but I don't know if there's that guy that's going to come in and light it up in the NFL. So I was a little bit lukewarm on him. That's why I went with Iomanure in the second round. It could happen. I think typically the Steelers get those guys in the second or third round, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again.
Ray, you had the outlier take on Jim Rooney, Art's brother, this week under the headline, what Jim Rooney said on the Steelers might have been tone deaf, but he had a point. Yeah. So here's my question. His point very clearly, I think, is one of his points, is what everybody knows. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady have dominated the NFL for the last, 23 years. But what does that mean as far as the Steelers go? Because I would say that while that's an obvious point that he brought up, yes, those two guys have been very hard to beat. Does that excuse the Steelers, especially over these last nearly a decade, from not even competing in playoff games? Like, what do you agree with that he said?
Well, I didn't talk to Jim, but the way I read into his comments, it was more about the Ravens and having to go through a really tough division where it's really hard to get good seeding in the playoffs, and you're constantly, fighting that uphill battle as maybe a lower seed who has to play extra games, who might not have home field advantage. If you look at the Ravens this year, guys, and even the Steelers to a certain extent, that first game that the Ravens lost to the Steelers at Acrisure really cost them, a game there, a game against the Browns, a game against the Raiders. Instead of them being like a one or a two seed because they play in the AFC North, they're having to go on the road to play Buffalo instead of playing Buffalo at home. So I know the Ravens had home field last year, but just over the course of time, when was the last time the Steelers had the one seed? Was it 2004?
Yes.
I know they were the two seed in 2008. It's just really hard when you have to battle through a really tough division. So maybe I was misinterpreting Jim's comments, but to me, when he brought up the Ravens, and I researched this, I backed it up with, what the Patriots had to go through. The Patriots division was terrible when they went to 8 straight conference championship games. So I tried to just take a little bit deeper look into what Jim probably meant by that. And, that's what I came up with, just how difficult it is to get through the North every year and how hard it is to get that seeding.
See, I think the thing that bugs me about that, Ray, is I have my doubts that the Ravens look at it the same way. I feel like the Ravens are truly set on, we're going to win a championship, not, oh man, we have the Steelers in the North still. They got to do something about this. Like, I feel like they aren't worried about the Steelers seemingly the way that the Steelers must be worried about them.
I mean, it's gone back and forth over the years. I mean, the Ravens have had their number in the playoffs the last two times. But, the Steelers had them back in, I think, was it 01 and then 08 and then 11. The Steelers had their number. So, it goes back and forth over the years, and it's no surprise. Just look at it, Donnie. Big Ben was better than Joe Flacco or Kyle Buller, whoever they had in 01. And right now, Lamar Jackson is better than whoever the Steelers trot out there. So as long as you're the Ravens, you have Lamar. You're the Bengals, you got Joe Burrow. To me, you got to feel good about yourself every offseason that you could put together a winning team that will have a shot once you get into the tournament. I know the Bengals maybe mismanaged some things. They, Mike Brown was kind of known as a cheaper guy. But, if they want to get back to being serious and building a team around Joe Burrow, they're going to be that team for another decade. And, Lamar's probably got another 7-8 good years in him too until – he's no longer viable. So it's going to be really hard for the Steelers to compete unless they go out and get that guy of their own.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
We've been derelict of duty here. Perhaps the biggest question of all, Ray, and if you could answer it briefly, that would be wonderful. Are we going to see a coaching change of any kind here? Any coaches gone? They're just going to run it back? What's happening?
No, they're not going to run it back. I think that'll probably trickle out next week or the week after. I think some changes will happen.
Who first?
I don't know. I don't have a good handle on it. I think I know the guys who are under contract, so I would say maybe one of the linebackers, coaches, D-line, tight ends, one of those guys.
That's the changes we're talking about? That's what Mike Tomlin goes in front of the media and says, oh, there's going to be changes around here, all right, the linebackers coach.
Here's what you forgot. He doesn't have to talk to the media again until the owners' meetings in May, in March. So he doesn't have to face the music.
Donnie, I don't know about you, but if they change running backs coaches, plan the damn parade. You agree?
I already have my my lawn chair out.
Right, exactly. I have mine out for the draft in a couple of years. All right, Ray, very quickly, your two winners this weekend are?
Can't go against Kansas City, and I'm going to pick the Eagles, even though I'm not exactly sure how that Hurts situation is going to play out. But, yeah, I'll go Eagles and Chiefs.
If the Eagles have to go with Kenny Pickett, do they still win the game?
Depends on when that happens. If it's early, I think the Commanders will probably win. But, if they have a lead and maybe it's late second quarter in the second half, I think maybe Kenny can steer that home.
We have to matriculate the ball a little quicker, Ray. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
Interest level 1 to 5 in the following players for the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers, 5 being very interested, 1 not at all. Aaron Rodgers.
1.
Kirk Cousins.
1.
Kyler Murray.
2.
Joe Milton.
1.
Matthew Stafford.
1.
Sam Darnold.
2.
If it were up to you, would you take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders if you were an NFL team?
Probably Sanders.
Justin Fields will be the 3rd or 4th best quarterback in the division next year.
Well, it depends who the Browns are playing, but I'll go 3rd best.
You would be more inclined to trade Watt, Minka, or Highsmith?
Minka, but it's a hard contract to trade.
George Pickens will be traded, yes or no?
Guessing yes.
Who will have the better career, Broderick Jones or Joey Porter Jr.?
Oh. That's a good one, Joe.
Thank you.
Broderick has more upside. I'll go Joey.
Ray, you're a hell of a man. And I know Limits agrees. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Ray. Joe has no further questions at this time.
Thanks, Ray. I also agree, by the way.
Thank you, Ray. On what?
That he's a hell of a man.
Yeah, he is.
You just said Limits agrees.
Well, we already knew you agreed with that. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And the 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Should be a very, very interesting weekend. We were just talking about it in the hallway. And Donnie, I mentioned to you, I can't remember, Mulsey and I did a show from a pizza place over in Brookline, I believe it was, or somewhere that began with a B. I don't remember.
Brentwood, Baldwin,
no,
Bellevue.
Bellevue. Might have been Bellevue. And I can't remember if I picked the Steelers to beat the Patriots, but I know I was leaning that, like, they have a real chance. And in retrospect, it was the Steelers in Foxborough against the dynastic Patriots with Tomlin against Belichick and Ben against Brady. What the hell was I thinking? People were legitimately picking the Steelers to win that game. This weekend, it's McDermott against Reed in Kansas City with the Bills going against the dynastic Chiefs, a team they never beat. Like, what? This is easy stuff as far as I'm concerned. This is easy pickings. The Chiefs are going to win.
I've had a mindset for a couple of years now. Once Mahomes started to turn into the monster that he is, if he's the starting quarterback and he's mostly healthy and it's late January, I actually don't even care if it's at home or away, because I felt this way for the last couple of seasons. I'm picking Kansas City.
Yeah. I don't blame you, because you're usually right. Now, last year, the Bills' defense was decimated like the Lions' defense was this year. If it wasn't, I think the Bills would have beaten them. This year, I do not. How are the Chiefs the healthiest team? It's so annoying. It really is. They're sitting there healthy. They're perfectly healthy, the Chiefs. They play more football than anybody in history over the last 7 years. They sit here perfectly healthy. They're probably better than they were last year. Their defense is great. Their weapons are healthy now. Kelsey looks like himself again. And then there's Mahomes with the high ankle sprain. Yeah, okay.
Which he ran for a touchdown immediately in that game.
Exactly. Which quarterback, gentlemen, is under the most pressure this weekend? Limitless Wonder, I'll go to you first.
Oh, I think it's Josh Allen, because this is the year. I mean, I have them. I am the Lone Ranger in this situation. I have Buffalo winning.
I hope so.
And, you know, I just have a good feeling that this is going to happen. And, Joe, your point that you made, like, it just keeps going on and on and on. That was the same point we made about Lamar Jackson against the Steelers, or just the Ravens against the Steelers. So the Steelers constantly had their number.
Yeah.
And at some point, the dam breaks, like something gives. And this is what I think is going to happen on Sunday, where the water will spill out onto the floor in Kansas City in what might actually be snow, and probably a bad analogy. But Josh Allen will win it when it matters most, since Stephon Diggs would not have his hands hypothetically on his head looking at the confetti falling for the Chiefs, because there will be blue confetti hypothetically falling for Buffalo on the road.
From your voice to the football god's ears, Donnie?
Yeah, it's Josh Allen by a mile. I mean, think of the other quarterbacks that are playing. Mahomes, he shouldn't have any pressure other than, okay, they're at home. But the guy has won 3 Super Bowls. Like, he's already kind of in he's kind of in the top 3 of all time. I hope you get a good stretch in there, Joe.
Thank you.
Jaden Daniels. I mean, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders could get blown out on Sunday, and people will still appreciate what he did this season.
Yes.
So they're kind of playing with house money. And with the Eagles, Hurts, yeah, he's under a little bit, but it's still nothing close to what Josh Allen is under, because Josh Allen kind of looking like, you know, maybe we can use the Peyton Manning comparison with Tom Brady, but it only took Manning until that third time against Brady to finally slay that dragon.
Yeah.
This could be.
But he was at home.
He was. He got his shot at home last year, though. Josh Allen did, and they couldn't get it done.
Because his defense was broken.
But Manning went into New England a couple of times, and he looked dreadful in some of those games. Ty Law, I think, had like 9 interceptions in 2 games against him.
Yeah.
Not really, but close to it. The point is, he finally slayed that dragon. It's Josh Allen's time to do it, because, yeah, he's still great. He's going to be a perennial MVP, whatever. But as each year passes, you're going to find that team and those fans questioning, will we ever get it done?
They've been questioning that since 1963. Yes, of course they will, and I agree with both of you guys. The only little caveat I would throw in, like Allen is the one who's going to face the most severe backlash. There's no question. But everybody who gets to this point is facing enormous pressure. And even Mahomes, of course he's not going to get shredded if they lose. It's not going to do anything to his reputation. But he has a chance to make history. They have a chance to become the greatest dynasty of the Super Bowl era. I think unquestioned if you win three in a row. And if you don't, you're never going to get that opportunity again, even if you're Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to win three Super Bowls in a row. So this is it, man. That's pretty intense pressure. Either you make history or you lose that opportunity forever. Jaden Daniels, yeah, I guess, playing with house money, sure. Dan Marino was playing with house money in his second year when he went to a Super Bowl and never made it back. It's the NFL. So, of course, he's not going to face criticism or get ripped if they lose this game. But the other side of it, it's a one-year league, man, every year. I don't know. Is he ever going to be back? I think he might be back multiple times. But maybe not. The Eagles have the best roster. The Lions are going to come back maybe as the favorite in the whole NFL next year with a healthy defense. You've got other young quarterbacks from Jordan Love to Caleb Williams and a new coach. And you know how it goes. So just to say, yeah, he's got nothing to lose. He'll be back. I don't know. I don't know if he will be. I think he will be. And then Jalen Hurts, I think, is under the second most pressure. But in the end, I do agree. It's Allen by a long shot because the Chiefs have become the Super Bowl to the Bills. They went 0-4 in Super Bowls, lost four straight times, and they're about to go 0-4 to the Chiefs in the playoffs. The Chiefs are the Bills' new Super Bowl. And man, Josh Allen has the Pirates' 20-year losing streak times 10 on his shoulders. It's like, are they ever going to do this? An entire city, region, Bills Nation, it's all on his shoulders. And he's the only way they can win, too. So, yeah, I agree. And then accompanying that, the coach, obviously, under the most pressure, is McDermott. Clearly, right, guys?
Yeah, I don't know if I put it as wide of a gap as I do with the quarterbacks, but it's definitely McDermott.
Followed by Sirianni?
Yes.
I think Sirianni's under the most pressure. You're really? At home against a divisional opponent, rookie quarterback, head coach of the first year with a Washington team that won 4 years ago. I do think that that factors into this. Only rookie quarterback to go to the Super Bowl is who? Dan Marino? Like, you lose to a rookie in your stadium in your own division? That's a lot of pressure for Nick Sirianni.
Next question. Does Andy Reid, if he wins this week and then finishes the job, have a case for the greatest NFL coach of all time? Super Bowl era?
He's right up there. I mean, because when I will think of that question or when that gets presented, he's definitely going to be one of the first names that come up.
Yeah.
Belichick and Reid, most likely.
Knoll, Belichick, yeah. Reid, yeah. Knoll. Bill Walsh comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Vince Lombardi comes up from time to time, right?
I George Halas.
I mean, the trophy was named after the guy.
Yeah. They come up, but
I guess I'm thinking more modern times. I wasn't thinking more
Thinking Super Bowl era. And I think you're right. He would have a case.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who will have done it 3 years in a row. And he'll match the Steelers at 4 of 6. Plus, it's not like he had a bad run in Philly. They went to millions of NFC title games and to a Super Bowl.